Com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Is it wrong that I was totally aroused by that?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
School is in session.
With your host, Tim Stein.
If I had to, I'd pee on any one of you.
Heartbreak Mike.
They call me Cookie Dude.
The Omega.
When I walk outside naked, people throw garbage at me.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm hopeless and awkward and desperate for love.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
We just stayed up all night talking on the internet.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I have to Google Earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday Night.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, get out your resumes and prepare to file for unemployment. It's firing season!
Rage. Rage.
Silent rage?
Silent rage. Grr. Arg.
Grr. Arg.
Rage. I said it to your face. Grr. Arg. Rage.
Yep, there has been an eventful week in professional wrestling. We have a lot to tell you about, as well as the people you will soon find working at your local Ring of Honor, TNA, or New Japan show.
Rage.
Rage. So, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Rage. What's up, guy? No. What's up, guys? It's Heartbreak Mike here, and the word for the day is rage.
Rage.
Rage. The one and only Tim Stein, are you rage?
Rage spoken backwards is Igar.
Tim's on pills tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Tim is good tonight, and so please just like bear with us while I don't do any talking at all. Wait a minute. No, too many people just cheered. Shut up.
Rage.
Erg.
Rage.
Arg.
Igar. Igar.
We're always the most goddamn easily amused people on the planet.
I was just going to say that sounded too much like the retarded version of Dr. Frankenstein's assistant. Igar. Yeah. No, or Igor.
Igor. Igor. Igor.
I don't know. Watch Young Frankenstein, because he likes to call himself Igor.
Isn't that like Evad Sullivan back in the day?
Who's that?
Kevin Sullivan's brother, Evad. Rage.
Are you guys mad at any machines? Do you have machines you're pissed off at?
He doesn't know what we're talking about.
No, he doesn't. No, he really, really
he doesn't.
You guys have machines you're pissed off at.
I got your reference. You don't get our reference.
Oh, because you could rage against the machine. What's your reference?
So the music we came into was the theme from Alex Riley. His gimmick was rage.
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 Igar.
And when he raged, he really, really was awful at it.
Alex Riley was fired because of John Cena. I read it on the internet.
No, no, no. He was de-pushed because of John Cena. Get it right. He was de-pushed and made an announcer because of John Cena. The other thing is because he didn't know how to rage.
He doesn't rage well.
No, he really doesn't.
Mm-mm. Time will tell if he ages well.
Well, the answer is probably no, he's not aging well. He needs to get out all of his rage.
Is he learning to rage well?
No.
Oh, God.
Rage.
Rage.
Mike, do you have a job?
Rage.
Tonight's answer is rage. Every time we say rage, take a shot.
No, don't.
Really?
Well, no one will be left.
Why do I feel like we should have Pee Wee Herman going absolutely crazy every time somebody says rage?
That would be a lot of Pee Wee Herman going crazy.
That would be an overdose.
It's not like a typewriter robot spit this word out.
Oh, God.
We don't have Conky on the show.
Imagine if we did, though.
Oh, my God. I would love Conky on the show.
That would be great. Tim, book it.
Who?
Rage.
Well, I'm drinking.
And I'm live tweeting rage.
Hashtag rage.
Yeah, hashtag rage. If you're on Twitter, use the hashtag rage.
That's how you can interact with us tonight. Hashtag rage. What are you raging about? Anyway, I think we have an actual show to get to, I think. I think that's the idea.
At some point.
Some point where we will actually talk about rage.
And a few other choice words.
Rage.
Come find out what I mean.
By the way, before we actually get into topics, later in the show is the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com right now and vote for the two matchups this evening, as your vote counts on WrestleTalkRadio.
And before we actually launch into more shenanigans and silliness that we're notoriously infamous for, I just want to take a second to be extremely serious.
All right, I'll shut up now.
For a moment. If you're in the chat room, you will see a banner underneath the chat itself, and it says, "Help Fort McMurray citizens." Now, this is a very serious thing. The entire city of Fort McMurray, Alberta, Canada, has been evacuated because of raging out-of-control wildfires. The entire city is in danger of going up in flames. People are displaced. People have lost their homes. What's really amazing so far, only two people have lost their lives. Ironically enough, one of the people who unfortunately succumbed as a result of this wildfire was actually killed on a highway when she stopped to help a fellow citizen. Now, the real mind blower of this entire thing, she was the daughter of the fire chief in Fort McMurray. And right now, this is a very, very serious thing. Fort McMurray is about an eight, nine hour drive north of Calgary. People from all over the province are opening up their homes. They are doing everything they can to donate, to help everybody out. I'm not going to get on the pulpit here and say, you know, do what you can to help out. If you want to, you can click that banner. It'll take you to a donation page. All the money will go to the Canadian Red Cross to help the victims of this incredible fire. But instead of preaching about that and trying to persuade you to do that, whether you're listening live or you're listening on the archive, I want to take time out and thank from the bottom of my heart absolutely every single individual who has given their all to help, especially the firefighters. These are the true superheroes. These are the true supermen right now, especially at this time. And I salute every single one of you guys. That said, why don't we get on with it?
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't getting any feedback. I started feeling it to myself.
Get on with it, late man.
There we go. So WWE wound up going through yet another, and it seems like it's annual, their Black Friday event, the one that you're not looking forward to. They got rid of a whole bunch of talent. There's rumors of more about to be let go, including an as yet unnamed major WWE talent. And speculation is out there on who it might be. We'll talk about that for a bit. But before we get to the names of everybody who got let go and everything, there are a couple of superstars that, you know, they're not quite sure they want to come back or have been suspended and they're trying to defend themselves. And we're going to talk about two of these two guys right off the top of the hop. The first one, of course, being Ryback. He actually asked to have himself taken off television. And basically he went home instead of working through contract negotiations, which I guess are at a bit of a standstill. Rock, do you have any update on that?
I have no update on that. I just know that he... Okay, it's conflicting report. Basically, was he sent home or did he choose to leave? When you read his article on his Tumblr, sounds like Vince said go home, but then he decided I took myself off of TV. He said two different things.
It's kind of confusing. Like maybe he asked to be taken off TV, and they said, "Well, then go home."
I think it was go home. All right, I'm gonna save face and said I want to go home. Yeah. I want to make myself look good.
There you go.
You can't make me go home. I'm already leaving.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't fire me. I quit. You can't quit. I fired you. Omega, did you read what he posted?
I read some of it.
Yeah.
There's only so much of the Ryback's, like, brain spillage that I can handle in one sitting.
His version of The Secret?
There you go. Yeah, Mike, did you read it?
I did not.
You're a bad boy. Anyway, the long of it is one of the things he's pissed off and having a problem with his contract renegotiation is, and here it is, he's letting the cat out of the bag with this. WWE apparently pays their talent less money per match if they're scheduled to lose as opposed to being booked to win these matches. And he just can't fathom in this day and age when everybody knows that it's all, you know, stories and it's all predetermined why the person who does the job, which means he's working to let the guy over and he's putting in the more heroic effort, why he should get paid less money than the guy who's been tabbed to actually get the pin count.
In more direct terms, it's a fixed event. Both guys are putting in the same effort here, and it's just like actors. You know, they're both playing a part, and they're both doing their job equally, no matter who wins and loses. Not like an actual competition where the winner actually does get something better. It's a 50-50. It's an equal exchange thing. So why isn't the payout equal?
Yeah, and, you know, that is a valid question. I mean, back – here's the air quotes again. Back in the day, if you were scheduled booked to be the top guy, the higher you rose, the more wins you got, the more titles you held, the more money you made. And that's just the way it was, and it was like that for – decades, basically right up until the Monday Night Wars, where Ted Turner came along and opened up the books and said, you know what, I don't give a damn, we're going to pay you whatever we can afford to pay you just to get you away from those guys. And Vince had to sort of like combat that. But now that there's really no real competition for WWE on that scale with that kind of a payday, allegedly WWE has reverted back to the old reward system on this. Mike, is this fair?
Honestly, it's not really. Times have changed. Like that, because everything that you said, it's kind of how I've been thinking. But times have really changed, and it's like some people now. I'm sitting here thinking, like, is it all worth it?
Is you stop and you think about it, you're told, go do this, go do that. Indie, to the best of my knowledge, indie wrestling shows, they pay their talent the same amount of money, win or lose. And it depends on how big a deal you are on that independent roster as to how green you are, how experienced you are, as to how much you're making. And you're not making a hell of a lot, you know? You figure, well, you know, you're only getting paid $50 for a night. Well, that's a hell of a payout when you stop and you think that you most independent wrestling shows, their matches as you get into it are maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes tops for a main event. And so, you know, $50 for half hour's work, you're making $100 an hour. That's not a bad deal, Omega.
No. No, it really isn't.
But having run an indie wrestling show, I can't see me telling somebody like Hotshot Johnny Devine, you're going to win this match and we're paying you $800. Oh, by the way, next week you're scheduled to drop the belt to that guy and we're only paying you $400.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Rage.
It doesn't work. It really doesn't.
So it doesn't work in the indies. Why is it working in WWE?
It shouldn't. It really does make no sense when there is no actual competition involved. Like, yep. Okay, we know wrestlers get paid a certain amount every year. Mm-hmm. Like we know that they do have this salary that they make. And that should be it. Like, depending on how big your name is and how much, you know, how much merchandise you sell, how much, you know, popularity you have, this is how much money you make. This is your star level, you know, in a dollar figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it should be that simple.
But see, also, and Tim, I know you can actually agree with me on this. There are some people that work that don't even care about how much they make. It's just how much time you give them. And to me, it was like back then, it wasn't about the money always. It was just for the love of the sport, for the love of the art. And it's just now when you look at people nowadays, it's like, oh, I'm here for the money. I'm here for the money, yada, yada, yada. So to me, hearing this from everything that's happening in WWE, it's kind of not a surprise for me.
Okay. Yeah. With the wrestling shows up here, for me, it was a little bit of a different experience looking at it than it would be, I suppose, in Washington, D.C. or whatever part of Florida you might be in, Omega, if they have an indie wrestling show there. Calgary is home to one of the premier training schools for professional wrestlers, for hopefuls. Everybody who is anybody who wants to be somebody and wants to break into the business knows about Storm Wrestling Academy. Hell, people who aren't wrestlers aren't going to break into the business, but just talk about it, know about Storm Wrestling Academy. Am I right, Omega? Am I right, Mike?
Yep.
Mike, somebody who's dabbled in wrestling and is going to be turning it up, what is your thinking about Storm Wrestling Academy? Like, have you and your boys there ever talked about it or anything like that? What have you heard?
They say it's like it's the place to go if you really want, if you're really dedicated. There's been talks about there's one in Houston. They're like, no, go to Florida. Go to Storm Academy. Go.
Yeah. Omega, what may have you have heard about it, as away from everything we're doing here? Anything at all?
Not especially. I will admit, my head is a little bit out of that realm.
Okay. When we all get together and we talk about it, you know as much about Storm Wrestling Academy as the next major wrestling fan who's into stuff like that. Partly because whenever we bring it up and talk about it and stuff like that. So that, you know, that taken into consideration, you have a reasonable idea of what's going on with Storm Wrestling Academy. Now, with me, I had kids come in who were being trained by Lance who wanted to do nothing but hang around. They would come in and it was all, you know, old fashioned, old school. This is what you did. And, you know, this is the way territories used to be run. If you wanted to break into a territory before you even thought about getting into a ring to wrestle in front of a crowd, you showed up early. You set up the seats. You helped set up the ring. You helped make sure everything was ready to go. And then you hung around and you acted as security, like for real security. And then after the show, you helped tear everything down and put it away. And you walked out of there with a smile on your face and a whole bunch of lint in your pocket because you didn't get paid, sweet twat. And with me, with Storm Wrestling Academy, I had all of his attendees and trainees and graduates come to my shows, and my ring got set up and the chairs got put up and put together, and all of the, you know, it was like, you know, Tyler, Rock and I talked about this, and he reminded me that I told him once, Tyler Breeze was trained by Storm Wrestling Academy. Who do you think? Yeah. Who do you think was one of the guys that helped set up my ring? So just so you know, right? So I got that direct benefit, but I did some nice things with these guys. Like Divine would get into the ring with them after the ring was set up, and he would actually work with them. He would let them do some wrestling in the ring. He wouldn't let them do anything but chain wrestle just so they could get that down. Now, there is a major, major thing right there. They would have chain wrestling enforced by all the guys here. This is what you learn in the Alberta territory, starting with Stu Hart and working its way through the years. You learn to actually wrestle for real before you did the highlight reel shit, right? But you got paid the same rate at the same time. You can be guaranteed John Cena is not making a lower paycheck whenever he jobs out to somebody. Shifting gears and going back to what Ryback was talking about. Seth Rollins, he's not making $1,000 less when he has to lay down for his opponent, is he?
Not to our knowledge.
As far as we know, they're not. But what's the difference between them and Ryback?
Talent.
Okay. Cheap shots aside. Well, no, Omega has a point. Ryback isn't the most overly talented guy in the ring.
I will admit there's parts of the Ryback I do actually get entertained by, but it's not his in-ring style.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's just kind of slow and lumbering and not up to modern standards for pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's like he gets winded a lot and I'm just like, what's going on? Because when he had the match against Mark Henry, he was really winded.
He blows up quickly and easily. He does. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what are you going to do? Ryback's not that big of a name. If this is a stumbling block, well, is it a big deal? Is Ryback that necessary to the... that give you a higher rate for winning, but we're going to give you a lower rate for... or we'll give you a higher payday for losing, but we're going to give you a lower payday for winning, so it balances out. Isn't it up to him to get WWE to agree to pay him a certain amount every year, no matter what, win, lose, draw?
In a sense, yeah. If he wants more money, he needs to pick up his game.
Yeah.
He actually needs to improve in the ring, improve on the mic, and he tries to improve on the mic. I'll give him that much credit.
Yeah. Now, unless your name is Samoa Joe or AJ Styles or, you know, pick out some other names, go back to a former ECW star like Rob Van Dam. WWE basically has you when you sign your first contract with them. Because what it is they're saying, all right, well, you know what? We're going to treat you like shit, but you're going to be in front of a million people. Let's see what you can do.
Hello, Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, exactly. But it's up to you once you get your foot in the door to get over with the crowd. And once you get over with the crowd, you start to get leverage. Once your merchandise starts flying off the shelves and making WWE that extra money, you've got more leverage.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with what you're given.
Yep.
It has everything to do with how you make it work.
Look at New Day.
New Day is the current example. The example I used to go to was like Big Vito, because he's given the dumbest gimmick in the world.
Oh God!
But he got way into it and he got over with it. You know, Perry Saturn was the same way. Hey, you're this big tough guy and you don't want to play our way? Here's a mop. And people actually really like the moppy run.
Hey, I miss moppy. Whatever happened to moppy?
I'm pretty sure that was a wood chipper.
Damn.
Moppy! he got Fargo'd.
Yeah. I can't wait until that series returns too. Anyway.
Jesus Christ.
But are we making any sense, or are we just talking in circles here?
No, I think we're making sense.
Yeah, because the long and the short of it is, you've earned a paycheck, Ryback. Quit your bitching. You're still making a lot more money in a year than a lot of people who come and shell out their hard-earned cash to watch you lumber around in the ring. At the same time, that being said, come on, WWE, smarten up and get with the 21st century. We all know that it's, you know, fixed. I'm never going to call wrestling fake, and I think anybody who calls wrestling fake should be kicked in the nuts, whether they have them or not.
At this day and age, anyone who calls professional wrestling fake really needs to take a look at Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones and wondering just what qualifies as fake in their head.
Thank you. I mean, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, but I don't expect Jon Snow to wind up dead on my doorstep and then come back to life.
Spoiler alert.
God damn it.
I said it last night. I'm so happy I don't give a shit about Game of Thrones.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I love Game of Thrones. I don't give a shit about the Transformers. We're even.
Right.
I don't know. I just picked Transformers to pick on Omega. It's all good.
No, no, he's fine. He's perfectly. Hey, last four movies, I don't blame him.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't mind the first movie. That was good. You do know which one I'm talking about, Omega.
Which one?
The first movie?
The first movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
And then Spielberg, was it Spielberg? He got his hands on it.
Okay, wait. First movie, what year are you talking about?
What year do you think I'm talking about? It's just the one that we always talk about that we all liked.
Because there's 2007 first movie, and then there's 1986 first movie.
1986 first movie.
Okay, thank God.
Come on, smarten up.
No, Spielberg didn't get it. Like, okay, you're talking like almost two decades before Spielberg got a shot at it.
Well, you see, I don't count 2007 because that wasn't a movie. That was a travesty.
All of them were a travesty. By that logic, we should only ever talk about one movie.
And that was the 80s one.
The most 80s soundtrack ever.
Poor Mike's probably got his eyes crossed by now. We're talking Transformers again.
A little bit.
You'll get used to it, Mikey. You'll get used to it. That's okay. You and I talk Game of Thrones, and that just puts Omega to sleep. So,
be glad Maze isn't here.
Oh, God. That would be the first 45 minutes of the show, and we would be totally OTL. Sorry, Omega. I had to.
Get out your dice. We're playing D&D tonight.
All right. Awesome. So, anyway, yeah. Shame on you, WWE, for adhering to the old format that is completely out of date. Shame on you, Ryback, for making such a public spectacle of something that your punishment should be, don't call us, we'll call you. This is what I get out of it. They're both in the wrong here.
Oh, yeah.
So.
In general, it's a bad idea to take your grievances public, where now it's become a spectacle for attention rather than an actual, you know, plea to your case.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you piss off the guy that signs your paychecks, the chances are he's going to stop signing your paychecks. So anyway, that's Ryback's situation. And the other one to talk about is the suspended guy. Okay, you guys have seen the tweet, right? From his note?
Yeah.
And you heard that the tweet got taken down, and then he put it back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And... Now, you actually saw the doctor's note itself, right, Omega?
Yes, I did.
How about you, Mike? Did you actually see the doctor's note?
Yeah.
Does that look like it was written by a doctor?
Yes, I could barely read it.
Yeah, you can. Chicken scratch.
Right? So, was it smart for Adam Rose to take his grievance to the public via Twitter and Instagram and all this other shit that he did?
Yes. No.
Okay, two different opinions and points of view. We're going to start with Omega. Go.
Same with Ryback. It's not a professional way of handling things. You know, okay, if you have a case, plead your case to the people it matters to. If you're just looking, you know, if you're going to post it publicly, you're looking for attention. You're screaming at the walls at that point and just waiting for the cops to show up at the door. Yeah, it's not something you do when you're in that kind of situation. You don't draw attention to it. You don't make it public, and you don't make things worse for yourself. You know, you play ball. You play the game, and when you've got a good chance, then you plead your case and proclaim your innocence. But you kind of have to work within the system instead of making up your own, because guess what? They don't care. All they want to do is make it look good for their wellness policy, so their stockholders and their board of directors are all happy with how things go, and we're sticking to this rule that we said we were going to stick to. You know, that's all they really want to do. And then you go and make a public spectacle out of it, and now it's a PR disaster.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you said yes.
The reason why is because that in the media can screw up so much shit. And to me, it's better to hear it from the horse's mouth rather than to hear it from other sources and other quote-unquote spoiler stuff. Because, like, why do you get suspended? Why do you get suspended? What's going on? Well, apparently, he did such and such and such, and there's no proof about it. So, Adam Rose, to me, I believe Adam Rose did what I believe he did right. He was like, hey guys, just so you make sure, yeah, that, this is mine. And yes, this is the truth, and whatever anybody tells you is complete bullshit.
Okay, I'm going to agree with both of you, because you're both right at the same time, which is like really interesting when you have opposing points of view, and I'll tell you why I think you're both right. He should not have released the doctor's note. He should not have posted that. He should have not made it so damn public in the way that he did. That's my supporting Omega. At the same time, he should have said something, tweet, Instagram, Facebook. That's where I'm agreeing with Mike. Yeah, guys, I got suspended because apparently the drugs that are given to me by prescription by my doctor for ADHD contain a substance that's on the banned list. I'm working with WWE over this, and we'll see what happens from there. Thanks. Don't get the wrong idea. Omega, would you have been happy with him tweeting that?
Happier.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a point to like wanting to set the record straight.
Yeah.
But again, there's better times and places for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like again, I don't think, you know, in those kind of situations, you know, WWE is really just pissed off because, okay, now we have to enforce this and we have to change our plans. And that's about the only grievance they have with you at that point. If you go and make this public, well, now they got another reason to be pissed off at you.
Because you make them look bad.
Yeah. And you brought what was supposed to be this kind of private situation, you know, to the forefront now. Especially in the social media age where you can't really take back anything you do because it's going to get copied, pasted, screen capped, and reposted all over the place.
Exactly. Once it's on the internet, it's there permanently. Somebody's going to have a copy of it and keep circulating it no matter how many times you try to take it down.
I just feel like there's better opportunity to do it than just, you know, while the iron is still hot is not the best time when you're just going to fire up the iron more.
So it's a case of bad timing, just like his moves in the ring.
Oh,
was that too mean? Too soon?
Rage.
Okay, Mike, that was Omega's take on my compromise. What's your take on it?
I like it. Now, here's the mistake that Adam Rose did. If you were going to, like, copy and paste it and whatnot, how about you, like, unhighlight the doctor's name and whatnot? You know, just for safety protocols.
Well, at the same time, you blur out the doctor's name and stuff like that. Then, how do we know this is a genuine letterhead from a real doctor? You know, you're going to get that. Right now, you know, you got people bitching and hooping it up over that, too. There's no getting away from it. The only thing underlying this whole situation currently with Adam Rose, for me, is the fact it's his second suspension over banned substances, if you will recall. Does that mean that he got suspended for 30 days the first time around because of his ADHD treatment? Or did he actually get caught with performance-enhancing drugs? Because, you know, like, we want to know, because we didn't hear anything about it from Adam Rose last time that happened. So, you know, is he lying now? You see what the problem is?
Well,
it's harder to say in our perspective because the first time he got caught was before they were reporting what he got caught for.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure they correctly reported what they were what he was busted with this time.
I didn't hear what. I just heard it was a banned substance, and that's all I heard.
Yeah.
So, as fans, do we have a right to know why they get suspended?
Honestly, no. It's an entirely professional decision. It's something they do for their own standards, and in this case, for safety of the performers and for you know, to please the people who line their pockets. But it's a personal matter. It's an internal matter. And we as fans, there's really no reason for us to know. There's no reason we should know. It's their professional business.
Yeah, Mike.
You know, the only reason they do it public, the only reason they release it publicly is to publicly shame them for doing it.
Uh-huh. Do you agree with them, Mike?
Yes and no. I do believe that, you know, we don't care. But also, you know, we also deserve the truth because, like I said, the media can fuck your whole world up. And they can say, hey, he got suspended because of drug use. No, bitches. This is why I got, this is what happened. We're fine. Thank you.
You see, you know, for me, it's a very fine line because when you are an entertainer, you're a celebrity. Everything you do is in the public eye. The only time you have any privacy is when you got to take a shit. And even then, somebody's going to slip a napkin underneath the stall door and ask for an autograph. Just ask Margot Kidder. That actually happened to her just after the movie Superman came out. She's in a restaurant and she had to use the ladies' room and somebody slipped a napkin under the door while she was doing the business, asked her for an autograph right in the middle of it. There comes a point in time where the fans don't need to know certain things. The only, like I said, the only reason why it was publicly mentioned was, you know, it's shaming him. It's just like body shaming somebody in school or fat shaming somebody who overeats. It's not right, but it happens, and it happens because in a twisted way, they're trying to help you out. It still doesn't make it right. There are ways to handle things. As somebody who's a curious son of a bitch, yeah, I want to know. But as somebody who has a rational, intelligent mind and doesn't want my business leaking out all over the world, it's none of my goddamn business at the end of the day. See, for me, I'm not a public celebrity. What I do in the privacy of my own home, well, you know, I couldn't force people to watch. So, yeah, that being said, Adam Rose was suspended. Why? Don't worry about it. You have to learn to be satisfied with that answer, but you're never going to be. Because the second you told something, you want to know why. Mm. Whether you think whether you think you have the right to know or not, you still want to know.
Sure.
So, there's that. And basically, that's just the first two topics here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I tell you what, everybody, let's take our first time out of the evening. We've been going 45 minutes already. It's unbelievable. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And also on your mobile device, thanks to the absolutely 100% free TuneIn app. Download it, search Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can listen to us while you're on the go doing whatever it is you got to do. You know, handle your business. What we got talking about. Speaking of which, we got more to talk about. A lot of firings happened. Talking about who got let go and potentially why. Oh, be back right after this.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Scream dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you serious? You're not open.
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. All right. We're safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street. Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette since you're fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get plowed by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network and live on the TuneIn app. As always, yes, I'm plugging the shit out of it because I want you guys to have it. It's free. And if anybody knows anything about free, shit, it's Rock and me. That's true, you know.
Nothing.
Just absolutely nothing. Well, you know, he's suffering from a headache, so he's just like not paying much attention to what the hell's going on until it's time for him to pay attention to shit, so. And I'm sick. But, hey, you're fired.
I'm the only healthy one here.
Not you guys. You're not fired.
Oh.
Sorry.
Damn.
No, but we had another Black Friday in the WWE. And like I say, this is getting to be an annual event. It seems like every year within a month of WrestleMania, certain talents get let go. Every now and then, we get one that's a head-scratcher or a real disappointment. This list is no exception. We've got a couple of disappointments on this list, too. But I'm just going to run through it really quickly here. The list of people so far who have been fired, released from the contracts, let go by the WWE to this point. Starting with Vince McMahon's illegitimate son, Hornswoggle. After Hornswoggle, the other midget. Am I allowed to call him midget? Little person. That sounds even more insulting.
WWE is racist against dwarves.
There you go. Yeah, El Torito was also released. Zeb Coulter.
Is racist against racists.
He's racist, yeah. The biggest Trump supporter they got, and he's got let go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That just makes me laugh when I think about it, because, you know, you say Zeb Coulter, and the first thought in my brain is Arizona. The second thought is Donald Trump. Go figure. Wade Barrett was released early. His contract was set to expire in June. They said, yeah, you might as well just fuck off. And he said, okay, well, that's cool. Santino was released. Cameron was let go. We talked about him earlier at the top of the show. Rage, baby, rage. Alex Riley. And Damian Sandow. All right, Omega. Who's your biggest disappointment on the list?
I don't think it's a contest here. There's honestly no real surprises on this list other than Sandow.
Yeah.
And in the scant few appearances he's made, the crowd has still been really into him. They remember how much they liked his run as Mizdow. They remember how entertaining the guy could be. Obviously, WWE didn't remember that.
I would have to not disagree with you on that one. Mike, your biggest experience?
Very carefully worded there.
Yeah, honestly, Sandow. It was messed up.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you stop and you look at it. The only one that was on TV recently was Wade Barrett. And we knew how long have we known? He wasn't renewing his contract.
It's been months now.
Like, since what? Christmas? Like, Christmas time. December, we knew, right? Probably.
He got hurt again.
Yeah.
But apparently not to a major degree, because he was never off TV and still at least somewhat involved with the league. But he never really, I don't know, like, WWE just kind of stopped using him. Which is, it's, again, he is a shame because he was another one of those guys that for a while was really over and really entertaining, and WWE just said, stop that. You're getting interesting. We can't have that.
How dare you be a fan favorite? Really. But Santino retired. He came back. He got hurt. He wasn't seen. And I honestly forgot he was still with the company.
Well, he hurt his neck. He retired. And then said, well, I had an operation that actually gives me a chance to get back in the ring. And then he never did.
Yeah. Which is too bad because he was an entertaining guy. But, you know, like, if he can't go, then why bother being around? Really. Releasing Hornswoggle, El Torito, those two being let go, it sort of very quietly whispers to me that they're starting to go in a different direction, which can't be a bad thing, Mike.
Rage.
He's reduced to noises.
He's right.
I know it hurts.
It does.
I know.
But the funny thing, but the most ironic thing out of this whole situation is that David Otunga still has a job.
Oh, my God. Otunga still has a job. Young still has a job. And Darren Young, not Eric Young. What made me notice about this list made me notice that the key to a very, very popular but short run in the WWE is to be the Miz's sidekick.
Yeah.
You know, it's true for Daniel Bryan, it's true for Alex Riley, it's true for Damian Sandow. They all got over being the counterpart to the Miz, and all three of them were hugely popular when they got done with the Miz.
So basically, the Miz is really good at getting somebody over who shouldn't get over, according to WWE.
Yeah, and then they they lose their job a couple of years later.
So if I was a lower card talent and told that I'm working with the Miz for the next 3 months, I should be worried.
By this logic, Maryse should be the biggest diva of all time, and then gone in by 2018.
The Miz curse strikes again. Yeah.
Morrison's in there too.
Yeah. Whoever came up with that. Where'd you get that, Mike?
Friends of mine have actually put it in on Facebook, and they were sharing it. I was like, wait, Miz curse strikes again.
Is the kiss of death.
Jesus.
Oh, it's still funny, yeah. Are you going to miss Zeb Coulter?
No.
God, I forgot Zeb Coulter was a thing for so long.
Well, the last thing Zeb did was when... I can't believe I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank right now.
The last thing he did was Mex America.
Yeah, with Alberto.
Which the only thing good about that was you never would have expected Zeb to be the one to bring back Alberto Del Rio.
You are correct.
Which made it so good because of the irony. I enjoyed it.
So much irony.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the irony. I thought it was awesome.
Maybe Del Rio's curse too, because now two of his compatriots since returning have been fired.
Yeah. Now, Cameron being released, is this a girl who was never given a chance to actually show her real talent and real abilities, or was this a girl who had more than ample chance to prove that she's not as talented as she may have thought she was, and they decided, meh, forget it? Is she a casualty, in other words, of the new direction of the women's division?
I think she's a casualty of the switch from diva to women's wrestling.
Okay.
She started out as a funkadactyl.
Yep.
Like, she was a dancer, and then they trained her to wrestle, and she was never really that good.
No, she wasn't. What do you think? Mike, what do you think?
Cameron needed a real opportunity. She tried so hard. They didn't give her enough time in NXT. They didn't give her enough time. It was like, you went from Funk is on the wall to give Cameron a shot, And then next thing you know, they're like, wait, Naomi has a bigger ass. Let's put her on the roster.
Wait. Where's the funk?
in her trunk.
No. I'm talking about what you said. Where's the funk?
The funk's on the wall.
On the wall?
The funk's on the wall.
Pretty sure it's on a roll.
I know what I said. I know what I said.
I've heard 3 people use that fucking theme song. I'm going to call it right.
Yeah, oh my god. WWE, stop recycling your theme songs. Anyway, but...
Yeah, wait. Before we go any further, Mike, do you want to explain to Omega what you're talking about? Funk is on the wall?
The reason why I said...
You know what? Huh? Before you go any further, just tell him it's a black thing you wouldn't understand.
It is, but that ain't the point. It's neither here nor there.
See, I got it, but I used to be a nightclub DJ, and I did the funk, man. You know what I'm saying?
Rage.
Sorry.
But Cameron, it just really disappointed me, but it also showed me that WWE is looking for ass and tits. TNA. And it's like Cameron, when she was in NXT, she was doing good, but she didn't get enough time. But yet we end up looking at Eva Marie's non-wrestling ass.
Eva Marie also still has a job right now.
Yeah.
You know, Eva Marie is a bad word. The TR Network. You do understand that, Mike.
WrestleMania moment. That was a bad taste in my mouth.
I mean, you could say the word fuck 50 times and we're like, yeah, whatever. But you say Eva Marie and it just causes Omega's toes to shrivel up.
Yeah, keep in mind, I'm the one who brought Thunder Cunt to our lexicon. And I shudder when Eva's full name is mentioned.
The one who can't wrestle, we'll put it there.
The no talent who shall not be named.
There you go. It just disappoints me.
The intern's waifu.
Oh,
what it
God.
Is.
Not the waifu. Anyway.
Hi, Brent.
It just disappoints me. Like, there's so much talent that people have. Cameron's one of them. Just give her a shot and... Who knows? Maybe she'll go somewhere where she'll actually get noticed and Vince McMahon's going to be like, I messed up.
This is like WWE, you know, where anything can happen. You know, registered trademark. So you never know. Like sometimes being let go and being able to go to Japan, go touring around on yourself, build up your own style and get some experience outside of the WWE system can be the best thing in the world for you.
I'm sorry, but WWE superstars went to TNA. NXT superstars went all around the world.
Well, this is true. Except for like the 5 TNA guys that are already in NXT.
Yeah, but... But to me, it's like original WWE superstars on TNA. And when they say anything can happen in WWE, no. Anything can happen in NXT. What happens in WWE is you go to the retirement home. I'm sorry, TNA.
Everyone comes to Florida to retire.
Next segment.
That was just like terrible, yeah. And of course, we talked about Alex Riley. He got de-pushed and then released. Is that a tragedy? Did anybody really care?
Jesus.
I love the exacerbation with everything.
This is great.
Alex Riley from, I'm sorry, Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Not Washington, D.C., by the way. When he did that whole change in NXT, I was like, oh my God, this is going somewhere. Next thing you know, Alex Riley has been released from WWE. We wish him well in his future endeavors. God damn it, Laurinaitis.
I honestly was hoping for something a lot bigger out of him once he finally got out of the announcer's table in NXT. That was a big disappointment to me. They finally gave him a chance to get in the ring again. The guy stayed in tremendous shape. and did absolutely nothing with him.
Which was sad. Like, it just truly made me... The big break that he had in WWE was him versus The Miz at Capital Punishment. I'm glad I didn't go. That's neither here nor there.
I heard the cringe.
Rage. So, I really think that let's hope that he'll go somewhere where they can use his talent properly.
I would love to see a lot of these guys come up into, like, New Japan. Because that's becoming a much more viable market than TNA at this point. Of course, my backyard is a more viable market than TNA at this point.
That's saying something, too.
Yep. I could see Alex Riley in PWG. I could.
Damian Sandow, do you think we might see him in New Japan or Ring of Honor?
I hope so.
Instead of TNA?
I'm just hoping Sandow isn't a sucker for TNA. because I really think that they're going to do what they're doing with, what's that guy's name? McIntyre. What's that? Gallows. That's that guy's name. I really think that they're just going to be like, ha, 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 come here. We'll make you a world champion. I hope Sandow's like, I want to get known. I don't want a pity title. Thank you very much. So I do hope that he goes to Ring of Honor where he will really get the respect he deserves and put on good matches. And if he goes to New Japan, God bless him, because they're strong style. That's all I can tell you.
Well, let me ask you both. Would he be more suited for Ring of Honor or for New Japan?
Honestly, it's a toss-up depending on his gimmick.
I would almost say closer to Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. It takes a certain excuse me. It takes a certain type of training to be able to handle New Japan because of strong style, like you were like you brought up, Mike. And I don't know if Sandow is versed enough in strong style.
Well, keep in mind, it's New Japan is like where strong style lives, but is hardly the only type of wrestling they have.
Well, sure.
You got the Bullet Club right now, which is purely American style wrestling because it's mostly Americans.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, call it what you will, think about it whatever you want to think about it. Strong style hurts.
Oh yeah. Yeah, go watch Nakamura and Zayn. Like, I hurt after watching that match.
Oh, hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And, like, strong style, that, again, you say that's where it lives, but it's not the only thing. Here in Calgary, which Undertaker at one point in time called it the Mecca for pro wrestlers, and at one point in time it definitely was. Stu taught strong style. The entire Hart family learned it. Brett was really good at it. Of course, he actually did a hell of a lot of work in Japan back, air quotes, in the day. Owen was able to wrestle circles around Brett, and it has always been my belief and my opinion that Owen was the better wrestler of the two. So that you also think about what the story that I told about the Dudley Boys and Johnny Devine. The Dudley Boys didn't want to have anything to do with Devine because Devine was trained in Calgary in the dungeon in strong style wrestling, and they're like, no, I don't want to touch that shit, fuck that. Bubba was like, no way did he like getting in the ring with Johnny Devine. So yeah, I could see Sandow in Ring of Honor before I see him go to Japan. Which I don't think is such a bad thing, because Ring of Honor is a little bit more readily available to me than Japan is. I don't know about you guys.
I've got hookups. I can watch if I want to.
Oh, there you go.
WatchWrestling.com.tv. Sorry.
Oh, no. We do not advocate illegal streaming here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Excellent. That was a big one, I think. I have my network.
I am WWE's $9.99, bitch.
here's my question, and this is from probably from a Booker standpoint. If you were to have, well, as we know, Sandow has been saying that he is available for bookings and whatnot. Now, would you offer him money, the more money, or would you literally tell him, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want to continue your gimmick as Sandow, or do you want to do your original gimmick, Aaron Stevens? Because remember, before he was Sandow, he was Aaron Stevens in Sunday Night Heat. I'm a Sandow follower. Idol Stevens. There we go.
Question is, does he have the right to the name Damian Sandow?
Oh, no.
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 What? Wait. That I don't know.
He doesn't even have the right to Ms. Dow. Like, he was doing that for so long, they trademarked that, too.
Mm-hmm. So he can do the Sandow gimmick. He just can't do Sandow.
True. But my right now, WWE is just ass backwards now because it's like they were strict with the whole names and whatnot. But apparently he WWE owns that name, Damian Sandow. So,
Rock, go look up who owns Pogs.
So I really think he could do the Idol Stevens name. And no, fuck. That's, OVW. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how he does it. But I do think the best choice for Sandow is to not go to TNA. Please.
No. No, I think professionally, no one needs to go to TNA right now.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good idea for anybody. So, anyway, it's not on the list, but we're expecting more cuts to come in the next week, guys.
Uh huh.
It's gonna be on the chopping block.
Are you ready to take a wild guess as to who the names might be?
Do you have names in your head, Tim? Are they talking to you?
I have one, and he's tied into Zeb Coulter.
The real American.
Oh, God, no.
The real American.
The American.
You gotta say it right. Yo, all American.
American. Rage.
What do you think? Is he potentially on the chopping block?
Yes.
I would not be surprised in the least. I've never seen why they keep Swagger around. I've never seen the guy improve, and I've never seen the guy do anything interesting.
I liked Swagger until they gave him the world title, and then all of a sudden he just seemed to come across as too nervous.
That was. His title run was such a cop-out. It feels like they did that purely so they could keep saying every Money in the Bank winner has won the title.
Uh-huh. You're kind of sort of thinking that may be the reason why. But.
Okay, I'm sure someone has to own Ms. Dow. I just saw toys for Ms. Dow that had the trademark on it.
It's not in the database.
Interesting.
Huh.
It may have expired and they never actually filed for Mizdow. You can make the toys, but you don't own the trademark.
If he goes with the Mizdow name.
So use Damien Mizdow on Ring of Honor and get away with it. Oh,
that would be so sneaky.
Oh my God.
I tell you, if he does that, I would just be so jazzed.
Still ripping off the Miz.
Yes, gimmick steal.
Gimmick infringement? Fuck you! You guys don't own it. trademark that as soon as you can, Mr. Damian Sandow. And then we'll start calling you Mizdow. Okay, I brought up Swagger. Would he be, in your opinion, the rumored big WWE name?
No.
Hell no.
There is one name that it was floated out there. Randy Orton.
It floated out there because as soon as they started releasing people, his name vanished from the website's profiles.
Yep.
Came back, though.
Came back after 3 hours.
Yep.
Now, amazing.
If it's not going to be Randy Orton, what major WWE name might it be that's going to get released, potentially?
The names you can throw out there would be Big Show.
Uh-huh. Mark Henry?
No, because he's retiring.
Yeah.
Because you disagreed with me on Wade Barrett, and I said they're going to let him go early.
I'm disagreeing you with on you, Mark Henry, as well.
No, I was just playing devil's advocate with Henry. He's been with the company long enough. They'll give him a proper send-off retirement, and he'll go into the Hall.
Yeah, he's already announced his retirement, and he's in July, I think his contract's up.
Last time he went out, he talked about his retirement. Well, never mind.
I know
yeah,
he got
bad day for John.
Yeah, bad day for John Cena.
Keep going with your big name ideas.
Kane.
JBL.
Stop that. Stop that. Stop that.
What?
I don't see go with Kane.
No one thinks of announcers when they say big names getting released. Those guys have been around a long time.
JBL, as far as the announced team goes, there are only two big names, Jerry Lawler and JBL.
Stop that. JBL ain't going nowhere, I'm sorry.
Please?
I will find you.
I'm so sick of him and his references from the 60s no one gets.
Well, at least there's some references that he get where Michael Cole has to fuck up almost everything.
Michael Cole, I forgive because he's just a puppet. He says whatever the hand in his ass tells him to say. I've caught him, the last two pay-per-views in a row reading straight from a script. It's sad. But he's there doing his job. Right.
So is JBL.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's a terrible heel commentator.
I didn't know he was trying to be a heel commentator, but all right.
It's trying to be an absolute prick if a commentator is what he's being.
Bring up Corey Graves.
Actually, it was the pay-per-view, I think, that JBL made a 21st century reference, and he caught me by surprise, and I was stunned, and I can't remember the reference. I can't remember the reference. But it floored me, because it wasn't from, what am I thinking?
I don't know what you're thinking. It took him 10 times.
1970s sitcom, All in the Family, or MASH, or something.
I don't know, they were running through talk shows on Raw when Jericho returned, and he named seven of them before he got current with Chelsea Handler, which he was proud of naming.
He's proud of thinking of something that was at least postmodern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Johnny Carson and everything's okay.
Yeah.
Dude, Johnny's been dead for a decade. Quit bringing him up. Nobody remembers him. You could have at least said Jay Leno.
At least Jay Leno. At least Letterman. At least someone the people have seen in the last 5 years.
Rage.
Rage.
So yeah, other than Swagger, you said there was Big Show. I don't have any other names that I could see getting released.
No, it really isn't. Because they've cleared out the rest of them. But sticking with Randy Orton, that would be a shocker. And you have to wonder, is that his body saying, I've had enough?
If you listen to Orton in interviews, he thinks he's got at least a good 5 years left in him. Yeah, if I'm looking at from WWE's perspective, I'm looking at someone I've turned face and heel so many times. There's really nothing left to do with him at this point. There's no major thing that character has left to accomplish. There's nothing left, no evolution left for him to go through.
He's won just about every title except the United States, so.
And he's injury prone.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
He's injury prone and, I believe, a few wellness violations to his name, too.
He's Play-Doh.
I mean, honestly, if you've injured yourself taking out a bag of trash, you're probably not in the best shape anymore.
Yeah, he actually disputed that a few weeks back and said, no, that's not what really happened. It was something else, and it just, I lifted the bag of trash wrong and made it worse.
Look at the bag of trash wrong.
So, hey, it's doable because I've done it. You can actually twist your wrist if you're not careful, if the bag is really heavy.
But he didn't twist his wrist.
I know. He suffered another shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Threw the bag over his shoulder a la Santa Claus and heard a big pop. There it is. All right, everybody, it's time for our second time out of the evening. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. During the break, you still have time to vote, so go and vote. Just go to WrestleTalkRadio.com and let your voice be heard for the all-time greatest, because it counts. We'll be back right after this. Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rock lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rock. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, where we're full of rage.
Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you.
Okay, so my mic's fucked up again. Yeah, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. We're stuck right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Where were we?
Rage.
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 Okay. What?
Rage.
What?
Screw that. This next segment's got to be rage.
So if somebody's stoned, it's hashtag blame Subway?
No.
Oh, God.
When a celebrity gets arrested, it's hashtag blame Subway. That's the blame Subway.
Okay, you know what? We need a hashtag blame Mike.
Why?
We're still
tradition.
We're still working on hashtag blame Omega. He has not settled in on his yet. He feels uncomfortable with a few that we have chosen, including when anyone re-signs with TNA, that's hashtag blame Omega. He's not comfortable with that one yet.
Why not?
It's not a re-sign. It's when WWE jumps to TNA.
Is it? I thought it was re-signed with TNA. We're still working.
When anyone signs with TNA in general, because at this point, why? I'm literally debating whether or not it's worse than Blame Rob.
Because, when the celebrity dies, hashtag Blame Rob. It's a thing. And when it's written in the sand, it is official. Thanks, Matt. Because we had a lot of fun with the other thing you wrote in the sand. It was awesome. Right, Omega?
Oh, Maddie's the guy that put the shit in the sand.
Yeah.
What's the other thing he wrote in the sand?
Hold on, I'll get it for you, because someone in our chat room will hate this one.
Oh, I've already picked on him once tonight.
Come on, you guys. Don't pick on the unpaid intern. He might quit.
He might rage.
Is the unpaid intern in the chat room tonight?
I don't think so. I don't think the unpaid intern's in the chat room tonight, so we may be okay.
So we can say it live and then you just cut it out of the archive.
No, we
met. Because I remember what it was hashtag, yeah.
No. Well, there was no hashtag for it.
Okay. Well, then you better show them because I thought it was.
Wait, I'm trying to find the, there's the link. Okay.
Okay. Click.
Click the link.
I'm clicking the link, eh? Try that and it did pop up. Open up, goddammit.
Oh, you know what you did. Oh, you know what you did, Matt.
What you did, Maddie.
What the hell?
Oh, yeah.
Rage.
He'd go through the roof on that one.
Oh, he did. It was glorious. Anyway. Well,
we don't need to piss him off twice over the same thing, do we?
Yes.
Well, fuck it. Evil loves Brent.
Forever.
Forever and forever.
So there you go. Anyway, back on wrestling topics.
Damn. I'm telling you right now, poor Stephanie McMahon. This chick is not going to be able to catch a break with the fans.
Nope.
You stop and you think about it. When did Steph ever say anything bad or nasty about China? Ever?
Not once.
How much heat has Stephanie taken because Triple H was the guy who cheated?
A lot.
A ton. Stephanie, when it comes to China, is damned if she do and damned if she don't.
People rage over it.
Yeah. It's just like people will rage and that's all there is to it. Fact of the matter is, yeah, okay, so Steph was the other woman before she became the woman. I have heard Triple H say some nasty ass shit about China when China was still alive. And let's face it, guys, he said some mean, nasty ass shit. He even alluded to her being a man at some point. And that, you know, not knock against men or anything like that, but he said something that was that reprehensible about his ex-girlfriend. Now, if you've ever had an ex-girlfriend, if you're a guy or a lesbian, and she's pissed you off to the point that you're just not really all that into her, you're going to say nasty ass shit. But when you're a guy like Triple H or anybody else in the public eye, you kind of sort of have to watch your P's and Q's because they will come back to bite somebody in the ass. How come it didn't bite Triple H in the ass? I don't know. Steph is taking the brunt of everything.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. It's, Triple H is catching hell and everything. Now, China, let's all face it, and I'm not speaking ill of the dead. She was a self-destructive woman, and a lot of the problems that she had to deal with, a fair amount of them were caused by her and not by others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that Triple H and Steph were seeing each other on the sly behind her back was pretty slimy. But you know, shit like that happens. And you got people out there who just will not forgive Stephanie for being the other woman when Stephanie has never said anything disparaging. But according to them, it's because of Stephanie that China lost her job. It's because of them, or it's because of China, according to them, that China didn't get into the Hall of Fame when she was alive. Fact of the matter is, it's because of China that China did not get into the Hall of Fame while China was alive. Stephanie recently said that at some point in time, China is going to go into there. She's not going in next year because it's too soon. I think we all agreed on that. Some point down the road, she's going to get into the Hall of Fame. She deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for her accomplishments in the WWE. At this point in time, being posthumous, we've talked about it ad infinitum. We speculated about it. Mike, I don't know if you were with us yet when we brought it all up when it happened.
I don't believe so.
No, we had a pre-recording from Mace when it happened.
So Mike was here.
Okay, so you were here, Mike, but you're still brand new and scared to say anything.
He's already trying to repress the memories of this show.
There you go. Don't bring it up.
He will rage.
Rage, Mike, rage. Anyway, should she have just kept her mouth shut?
You said it yourself. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yep. She's going to catch flack no matter what. So at the very least, this puts out a better public perception than just staying quiet, I think.
She didn't say anything wrong.
Yeah.
She's being professional about it.
Well, there you go. Exactly. Yeah.
It's not like she came out and say, no, she's never coming in because she prostituted herself for money.
Exactly.
No, she just, some point, she's going to be in.
Basically. Because,
I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say basically the direct quote was it will happen at some point in the future, and there's no denying her contributions to WWE. Exactly. Definitely, she will eventually go into the Hall of Fame. That's all she said. That's all she needed to say. People were still jumping down her throat. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, it's because, yes, Stephanie could say a whole lot, and she took the high road and was like, okay, look, guys, you guys can hate on me if you want to, but I'm going to give China her credit when credit is due. She changed the WWE. She made history in the WWE. And there's no denying that. So, yes, she will be in the Hall of Fame. When? That is the mystery.
So, to tell you the truth, I'm kind of feeling, whenever this is brought up, I feel bad for Stephanie. Which probably won't make sense to some people. But I'm sure Omega gets my drift.
In a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And she is catching a lot of this that she doesn't deserve in the first place.
Yep. Exactly.
It's the way of the internet. Everyone wants someone to blame. Everyone wants to accuse someone of being the one who was at fault for all this. It's really not. It's just, this is how life worked out. It's, maybe it could have worked out better, but it's just how it goes.
Not much you can do about it. Kudos to Stephanie for handling everything the way she has handled it. Holy cow, though, did she ever take a load of shit the night that that it happened?
She ate a lot of crow. But, like you said, proud of you.
There you go. Proud of you. So there you go. I guess it's unofficially official. China will be going into the Hall of Fame in the next few years. Like I say, I don't think it'll be next year, maybe the year after.
But
I could say that, but Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
I can say that, but Eddie was an active member of the WWE roster.
Point.
Yeah, Eddie was absolutely clean and sober working for the WWE. He died brushing his teeth. Everybody has blamed this on his drug use and everything else like that. And it could have been. But at the same time, people who have never abused their bodies in their entire lives have had the same thing happen. And it was his what's the major artery called coming off the heart? The aorta.
Yes.
It basically snapped off is what happened, more or less.
So if anyone's out there eating something at the moment, sorry.
Why are you eating?
No, I'm just saying someone could be listening in the morning to the podcast.
Oh, here's something else. I don't understand why people get squeamish talking about something.
Anyway, continue on, Tim.
Anyway, yeah. This happens to people who are absolutely 100% for their entire lives drug free. I mean, like a Jim Fix. Here's a name that you guys probably don't even recognize.
He is a jogging expert.
He was
jogging guru.
Yeah, he was an absolute advocate for physical fitness and jogging. And he's out there one day jogging, drops dead of a heart attack. Basically, his aorta ruptured. Same thing that happened to Eddie.
Meanwhile, Keith Richards, alive and well.
still alive, and according to Keith, he snorted dad's ashes.
It's all luck of the draw. Everyone's bodies work a little bit differently, and you just cannot predict these things.
And it's, it's my contention that if you are susceptible genetically to getting a certain kind of cancer, you're going to get that kind of cancer whether or not you do something that helps to contribute to it or not.
So, Bob Backlund's returning to WWE television.
Right.
Yeah, are you trying to just move the show along, Rock, and step all over?
It got awkward there.
You're taking it down an awkward place. I'm moving on.
We're planning on eating breakfast when you
people are going to get breast cancer. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, anyway.
Thank you, Tim. We needed a little bit of hope in the world.
There you go. Well, I'm sorry to be such a goddamn realist. My mother has never smoked a cigarette in her life, and she's suffering from COPD. Okay, there you go.
So is my grandmother. It's environmental.
Yeah, well, you know.
She hung out in bars and VFWs her whole life. It happens.
Yeah, my mom didn't. My mother never frequented bars, went to places that were full of smoke or anything like that.
That you know of?
Oh, no, I know, because I'm the youngest of eight. She's too busy raising me. Anyway.
Bob Backlund was returned to WWE.
Bob Backlund was returned to WWE. He showed up on SmackDown. Apparently, he's going to be Darren Young's life coach. Uh-oh.
We're here to make Darren Young great again.
Oh, God.
Okay, that's sort of like bastardizing Donald Trump, isn't it?
Yes.
Stop for a second now. Everybody, just inside your head, hear Donald Trump say, "Make Darren great again." That pinched look. Did I just cause you to have an aneurysm, Omega?
Maybe. Why'd you make me think about Trump?
I'm sorry. You might be predisposed to that.
You're in Canada. You don't know.
Oh, I do know. I talked to so many of you goddamn Americans threatening to move up here if Trump gets elected. I'm like, no, we gotta build a wall.
He's scared too. He's probably gonna nuke you first.
These are great.
Yeah.
Trump against humanity?
I won that. I won the game.
I do too. Anyway,
Trump against humanity?
It's good that someone created the version of Cards Against Humanity with the Trump deck.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That'd be
cool. Yes. Yeah. Anyway. Bob Backlund's back. Yay.
Yeah. Okay, in case you didn't realize, Bob Backlund was a WWF champion back in the 1970s.
Back in your day.
Thanks, JBL.
Yeah, I've got the sudden urge to go to run to my bedroom and grab my cowboy hat.
Oh, God.
My cowboy hat is in my bedroom.
Thanks. I figured that part out.
Can you get it in 29 seconds?
No.
Oh, well, here's 29 seconds.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop de freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Just forcibly moving the show along.
Oh, because we so wanted to talk about Darren Young's push.
Well, I just can't help but wonder. No, I'm not even going to talk about it. The gay community will get mad for the wrong reason.
I said it before. Darren Young is going to be a WWE employee for life because no matter what he does and no matter why. Yes, someone is going to take that out of context and go, no, you fired him because he's gay.
I can see it now.
Or, come on, he'll bring it up. Yeah, I was fired because I was gay.
You know, we should sign a petition, make sure he goes back into the WWE. It's not fair. He stands up for the right for all of us. Make Darren Young great again.
Did you just do like a gay black man voice?
No, trust me. No.
That's not his gay black man voice. He has a better one.
Do you have a gay black man voice?
I do. What?
Oh, the things we found on you.
All right.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, wow.
Mike, do your gay black man voice. You can't get out of it now.
Wait, what? Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the all-time greatest. So, hope you guys have did your votes on Wild Talk Radio. I think.
WrestleTalkRadio.com, close enough.
Yeah, it's WrestleTalkRadio.com. So, oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to take over. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. You're moving to Canada, right?
Wait. That was it?
No, fuck
no. So, Mike, are you moving to Canada?
No.
Oh, well,
Oh, Canada, our home to make
rage. 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 Rage.
Humor.
Rock.
Fuck that.
Rock does not get rid of anything.
Nope.
He fucking keeps all these goddamn clips, Mike. Get used to it.
Jesus H. Christ. Speaking of H, yeah, so this all-time great. I'm liking this here.
Because you're an American.
Oh, dear God, stop. For the love of humanity. Oh, God. Macho Man Randy Jesus, please stop it.
Do you have any more of Mike?
No, that's all I have at the moment.
Okay, Mike, just so you don't feel as bad, here's proof that Rock keeps clips on everybody.
Go suck my dick. Exactly. My 1-inch long, incredibly tiny dick.
Okay. It's all fair game here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, you know, I could play another clip, but I'm not going to because he would hang up. So I'll just play this one.
Winning.
Anyway, Hulk Hogan confronts Zeus at SummerSlam 89 versus Barry Horowitz beating Skip for Barry Horowitz's first win in 1995. Omega. Which is the bigger winning moment?
So, I do put in my $9.99 a month. So I had to go back and actually watch most of these. Zeus was horrible. Zeus was like absolutely hideous.
Uh-huh.
His gimmick is he no sells stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And once he does start selling stuff, he immediately loses. That's Zeus. And on one hand, at that time, there was a theatric to having someone no-sell the offense of Hulk Hogan, of all people.
Uh-huh.
It was stupid. It's fucking stupid. I loved Horowitz beating Skip. Even if you are a perennial jobber in the WWE, everyone deserves a moment. Everyone deserves that little bit of glory mixed into their career. You know, like, even Steven Richards had the right to censor for a while.
Yeah.
Even Tommy Dreamer won the ECW World Heavyweight title. He didn't want it, but he won it.
He won it.
Yeah. And that was kind of his moment, and it was one of those things where, like, Barry Horowitz is still the name that comes to my head whenever I think jobber. Because he is jobber in the purest of senses.
Keep going.
It's kind of hard to.
Yeah. Skip from Body Don is not a tremendous win, but hey, it's a win. Oh, it made me feel good for Barry. I will also let him win this round if my vote counts for it.
All right, Mike, you're up.
I would have to say, as much as I did not see the Barry Horowitz being skipped, but Zeus sucks ass. Can't sell worth shit. So I'm gonna go with Barry beat Skip.
Now to play fair, we'll play this version. for the Bobby Donnas. As we go to Tim.
I want to play this just for you.
No, to be fair, we played Barry Horowitz, so I'll play the Bobby Donnas.
All right. Now, do you guys not realize that Tiny Lister was never a professional wrestler?
No. Actor, not a good one.
Exactly. He was an actor, and his best role was in The Dark Knight. That was the best acting he ever did, because he was the guy that was on the prison barge, and he's the one that threw the key overboard.
Oh, there is.
You didn't know that?
No, I'm not exactly up on the acting career of Zeus.
Okay, that was Zeus. The same guy, that was Tiny Lister, Zeus, who did that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that was the best acting he's ever done. So, the only reason why he was in WWE was to sell the Hulk Hogan movie.
Brother.
Brother.
No Holds Barred?
That's exactly the name of it. No Holds Barred, where Hulk Hogan played the world heavyweight wrestling champion. I know it's a stretch.
Shock.
Yeah. And Zeus was his nemesis. And I think that was the first time WWE ever did a crossover to promote a movie. And WWE was involved in the movie because it was a Hulk Hogan vehicle. So.
Yeah, they wanted to make a movie for him to raise his profile as an actor. And then got pissed off at him when he wanted to go do acting.
Yeah, and he wasn't good at that either.
Yeah. And then came Three Ninjas High Noon at,
Mr. Nanny.
There's Mr. Nanny, there's Suburban Commando, there's Three Ninjas 3.
Yeah.
Because the best in the series.
Because the first two weren't enough.
Yeah. Oh, God, it wasn't even 3, it was 4 now that I think of it. Oh, Jesus.
And the only reason why this is on the list, Hulk Hogan confronting Zeus at SummerSlam, is because we needed another one to round it off. As far as I'm concerned. Wasn't Horowitz beating Skip his first win ever?
Yes.
I did mention that.
At least it's Barry Horowitz anyway.
I know that. But after that, didn't he also beat Triple H after that?
No.
Yes, he's got a win over, Barry Horowitz holds a win over Triple H.
Does he?
Yeah, he does, and I can't believe you don't realize that. But that didn't come until after he beat Skip. It was, like, huge! Because Horowitz was the perennial, I pat myself on the back. Hell, his jacket even had a sequined hand patting him on the back. Okay, so
it's back.
It's like a bad penny, man. It's always turning up. That was the monumental because Horowitz never won. He was the ultimate jobber. Beating Skip led the way to getting a win over Triple H. And I think that was only the second win of his career, and it was like a stolen win, but it still counted. So, yeah, Horowitz beating Skip in 95 is a bigger deal.
There you go. I don't remember him beating Triple H.
I don't remember that either.
I remember,
smile and wave, boys. Just smile and wave.
I remember the Brooklyn Brawler beating Triple H. Not Barry Horowitz.
Beating Hunter Hearst Helmsley, there's a difference.
I thought Horowitz was gone by the time Hunter was in the WWF.
I'm reading Wikipedia. Horowitz returned to his losing ways, including losses being defeated by Steve Austin, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Duke Jersey, Savio Vega in January and February. So, as I introduce the next one, first, with 75% of the vote, Barry Horowitz beat Skip, said the fans. So it was a clean sweep all around. Our next one.
Where's the clip of Horowitz wins?
I would have to go to the WWE Network for $9.99.
Oh, you didn't have that prepared.
No, I did not. I did not have that one prepared.
He's banking on Zeus, I see.
I'm banking on Zeus to take down the Jew. anyway, moving right along. Oh, God. Big Boss Man sends the Mountie to jail in 1991, where Mr. Perfect versus Bret the Hitman Hart in 91. Omega.
Is there more perfect cheesy feud than the Boss Man versus the Mountie? Like, if you're going to look back at the pantheon of WWE's just super cheesy gimmicks.
Yeah, an American prison guard against the Canadian national policeman.
That is hilarious to me. Like, that seems like a natural feud to have. Like, the same way, like, teaming Million Dollar Man and IRS was just completely natural.
So, oh, the irony.
Yeah, there's a hilarity to this. However, you're talking Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect. You're talking about two of the best technical wrestlers of all time putting on a hell of a match. Like, Boss Man and Mountie? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's an amusing moment. It's such a cheesy feud, I have to love it. Mm-hmm. I can't pick it against Hart and Perfect. I absolutely can't.
But the Mountie.
Oh no.
Alright, Mike, you're up.
Jesus Christ.
Should have played the Dudley Do-Right theme while you're at it.
Please, no, for the love of God, no.
Are you shooting on my national heritage, Mike?
No, I'm not. I actually...
I hate the song too, shut up.
Jeez. both of these in 1991, though. But I would have to say Boss Man sending them out into jail. Jailhouse match. Okay.
Alright, Tim, I guess you break the tie.
Well, Omega's right. Cheese is always good. It goes with a lot of stuff. But I'm sorry, Mike, you're wrong. Bret Hart taking on Mr. Perfect. Mr. Perfect putting Bret Hart over. This was the Intercontinental title match, was it not?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mr.
A fucked up back, and he took all of those bumps hardcore. And Bret didn't know how fucked up his back was at the time until after the match. Like, we're talking years the match. Okay? At the same time, these two delivered an off-the-hook, over-the-top, holy shit, that was fucking awesome, give me a cigarette now afterwards, wrestling match at SummerSlam. And it seems like Bret Hart had more than a few awesome SummerSlam matches with different opponents. The other one being, of course, notably British Bulldog. And I think that one's on the list coming up too eventually, isn't it, Brock?
Which one?
The Wembley Stadium match. That was SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's a few weeks from now.
I really hope that this Bret Hart versus Perfect does not go up against Bret Hart versus Bulldog, because that's just going to be. I'm sorry, that's a dead heat. There's no way I could pick one of those. But
Rock, you know what to do.
It's easy for me to pick Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect in 1991.
So there you go again with 75% of the vote, Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect. Wow, moves on to give some facts. Bret Hart never beat Triple H in any sort of matchup, according to the Pro Fight database. Sorry, Tim, you're wrong.
No, I'm not.
The internet tells you you're wrong. Sorry.
No, I'm not.
The internet does that a lot. Don't let it get to you.
You may rage. Anyway.
Okay, before you continue, I've got one thing. I just have one thing.
Tim was right. Tim was right. Tim was right. Tim was right.
I don't even know who that is, so...
again, hopefully.
Tim was right.
You don't recognize that voice?
No, I have no idea. No,
set it up for you. Bret Hart had just made peace with Vince.
Oh my God, Tim, I was making a goddamn joke. Jesus
Christ.
Christ.
And
I predicted at one point in time after everybody shooting on Bret Hart because he's Bret Hart, and it was a really cool show on Bret Hart because he's Canadian from Calgary, and everybody thinks I like cream and jeans over Bret Hart. I don't. But just to be a smartass, because you guys were pissing me off that night, I said, Bret Hart's going to win the United States Championship. Wait, you'll see. And that's where that clip came from Spug. Tim was right. Bret Hart sucks. You're an ass. We're not going to get into this again.
Yeah, the one where he says, I'm a production god.
Oh, I've got one that you're going to love. Where is it? Here.
You're too busy doing what to have paid attention?
Reveling in the fact that the god of internet radio, Rock, fucked up.
That was a question.
All right, cut it off.
So nobody would get it right.
Yeah, no, no. No.
I like how when Tim has a clip, it's more than 2 seconds long.
Yeah.
Like, what's the opposite?
How many did money win the?
8 and 9. They left WrestleMania with the titles.
Wow, Tim, you really keep a very.
Oh my god, I'm having flashbacks. It's like every co-host I've ever had has come back at once.
Oh god. Actually, I have to give him a call to kill Spud and Paul. Anyway.
This is really gonna hurt the Rock. This is really gonna hurt Rock.
Tim was not wrong. But it never actually said the words.
Doesn't matter. It's still, what does it mean? If you're not wrong, you're what? That's right.
Tim was not wrong. Don't make me hit the soundboard, Tim. You don't want me going there, do you?
Hey, well, you know, you don't want to be going there because that'll be very detrimental. Where were we? Oh, isn't it time for Quick Hits?
Not yet. Next week on the show, it's Owen Hart breaks the neck of Stone Cold Steve Austin in 97 against Rey Mysterio, wins back his son from the pole in 2005.
Oh, shit, Dominic on the pole.
And Daniel Bryan returns to be a part of Team WWE in 2010 and against the first ever TLC match. That's next week in the all-time greatest. And apparently it's hashtag Tim was wrong.
Yeah, no, that's incorrect, Matty. You're fired.
Matt, next time you're at the beach, the hashtag. Matt. That's the hashtag to do.
No, I don't think so.
Jesus.
Now it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Let's see, we'll start with Tim. If you owned a horse, what would it be called?
If I owned a horse?
Yeah, if you owned a horse, what would you name it?
Colors the horse.
Whatever color you want the horse to be. It's your horse.
Well, it depends. Naming a horse, you just don't grab a horse and arbitrarily name the fucking thing. Don't you know anything?
If it's a brown horse, you own a brown horse.
Well, you could name it Coco, you could...
He names things based on their color.
So if you owned a horse, you're naming it Coco?
Is it a male horse or a female horse?
Oh, God.
It's whatever horse you want it to be, Tim. It's your horse.
I don't know. What would I name a horse? Thunder.
Okay. Well, just now, is it a male horse or a female horse?
No, it's a brown horse, so I call it Chocolate Thunder.
Oh, God.
Chocolate Thunder.
Because it was a female horse and you called
it...
I
had that the last time I went to Taco Bell.
But if Tim had a female horse and named it Thunder, there's only one word you would add to it, and you can't say it in Canada. So, Mike, if you owned a horse, what would you name it?
Jackass.
Why Jackass?
No, I'm kidding. I'd actually name it Ipana.
Why?
You nerd.
And I thank you. For the simple fact is that I would. It's from the Legend of Zelda series, and I would name my horse after the horse of Link, Ipana.
There you go, Mega. What would you name your T-Rex on your wallet? No. Have space. No. What would you name your horse?
Butt Stallion.
What?
Why?
It's also a video game reference, except it's Borderlands, not Zelda.
Yeah, no.
There you go.
I'm sorry, I fucking love that game.
Alright, so I was going to play a game earlier in the show, but I decided to hold off the quick hits. Because the recent firings kind of screwed up a couple of matchups I decided on. So the game is called Push, Deep Push, Fire. This was thought about...
And it's based on what game, Rock?
F, Marry, Kill.
Well, no. It's based on what game? Actually say it.
Fuck, Marry, Kill.
There you go.
Okay. Now, we'll start with you, Tim. Who would you push, Deep Push, and... Fire from Del Rio, Sheamus, and Rusev.
I'd push Rusev. I'd push Del Rio, and I'd fire Sheamus.
Why would you fire Sheamus?
Because I don't like him.
Okay. All right, Mike. Your three are Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Big E Langston.
You bastard. Rage, rage, and rage.
Racist prick. Go ahead, you can say it, Mike.
Racist prick.
What a puppet.
Fuck, I can't even decide. Well, push Kofi. No, hell no. Push Xavier. Deep push Big E and fire Kofi.
Wow.
And Omega. Your choices are Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, and Cesaro.
You know what? I'm not upset about that. Rage.
Rage. And I will strike down upon thee with a great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison or destroy my brothers.
That was very monotone. Say what again, motherfucker? I dare you!
God, see, this is... One of these is not difficult for me to decide.
Which one? What do you need to decide?
Who to push.
No, who to fire.
Who are you firing?
Honestly?
Get it out of the way.
Firing Ziggler.
Yep.
Wow.
I love the guy, but good lord, he's done so little and there's just nothing left there. Like, this is set up because I've been like so pissed off over Ryder. That's my rage since WrestleMania.
It was the genesis for this idea.
And yeah, this was customized just for you.
It really was. I wanted to torture you.
I'm so lucky to have you people in my life. Yeah, god damn it. you know what, at this point I would actually say in this game to deep push Cesaro and push Ryder, only because that would put them equal at this point. This would be level pegging.
God damn, you are so right.
Just for a point of reference, Thursday because I told Lindsay this idea. The choices for you were Ryder, Ziggler, and Sandow. He got fired on Friday, so I had to remove him from said game. So
I couldn't say D-push Sandow. How much lower could he go?
Well, you would have been forced to fire him then.
No, I still would have fired Ziggler.
Oh, shit.
Then you would have had D-push Zack Ryder. Or push to Sandow. But yeah, that was what the game was based around.
I made my decision, Rock.
And because final time for bad news, we're closing it out with Bad News Barrett. All right, done. Tim, we're done.
Oh, no. Hey, Rock.
What?
Who are you voting for, Donald Trump or the Cookie Monster?
Cookie Monster.
Hi.
Because it's the Cookie Monster. It's not Donald Trump.
Cookie Monster is more realistic.
Anyone but Trump. Anyone but Trump.
And yeah, the show's done, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, but don't leave yet because we've got plugs and shit to do. You want to listen to this? I'm a Canadian. I won't support Trump, but I've got my reasons. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show.
11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, first Thursday night's the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack with the award-winning Lindsay Ward.
We're back.
Award-winning Rack.
We're back live Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go check out the episode we did for Payback over the weekend. Right now at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/RackRadioShow, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. We'll be talking NXT, the firings, the Ryback, and so much more. It's Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Linz Ward and get the show on Google Play and iTunes, Rack Radio Show.
There you go. Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as you get to it. It's another picture from Maddie at the beach. I mean, CB Radio.
Okay. That's weird. It's wacky. It's the unusual. Go back and listen to last night's episode where we give you the Payback review and all that fun stuff. This week we'll have probably Ace Tweet, Ehow, and so much more. It's CB Radio Live. Saturday night's midnight at CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
There you go. And, of course, next Sunday night, those of you who tuned in a little bit late, remember we are on at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 o'clock Eastern Time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Isn't next week the week we've got a preview Extreme Rules?
Yes.
Wow. So what we're going to do is preview Extreme Rules, and it's another edition of Pick 'em, kids. you know, pick who you think's going to win which match, and who knows, we might just reward you with a prize. Find out next weekend when you tune in for WTR Sunday Night. Follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums, FlamesForums, with a little at sign in front of it, at Flames Forums. You can also follow me on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/menchefs. Check out the Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Also, Facebook, kick out the group, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Also, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join one like the other. And keep up to date on all the shit that we wind up doing on Wild Talk Radio Network. That being said, I think it's time for Omega to do all of his plugs. We've got another half hour to go.
Okay, let's be fair. I do have a lot, but I do keep them short. Pretty much anywhere I am online is TJ Omega, aside from Facebook, which is TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, though, on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. On YouTube, it is TJ Omega, where there is new content every single weekday, except for the last week where I've been busy redoing my entire room from the ground up. So
because he was making room for the T-Rex head.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
It will be a thing. It will be a thing.
It will never be a thing.
It will be a thing. Anyway, go check out his stuff at TJ Omega.
And there's TJOmega.org for a bunch of exclusive videos, too.
Whenever he gets done redoing his website, too.
More things on the to-do list.
I know.
Wow. Mike?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who want or just want to look at my fucking Twitter, my Twitter is the WTR Oreo. And follow me on Twitter. You'll probably see at least one of those random posts that I'll post like once in a blue moon. I'm also starting to now start showing video clips of me playing this beta for PlayStation 4, so continue to start looking at that on my Twitter.
Cool.
And because it's a throwback.
Big poopy balls.
I was wondering where it was.
Now you know, and it could be put back where he got it from.
It could be, but I don't remember what this one was, so I'm playing it anyhow.
I've never gone tampon shopping in a girl's bathroom before.
Oh my god.
Maybe I've lived a sheltered life, but it just has never come up.
God, that one's old.
That one is old. I had no idea.
Was I doing the show inside a bathroom back then?
Yes, you were.
Out your old microphone, Omega.
Oh my god.
Oh shit, hey? Okay, here's a blast from the past. Just so you actually do feel like you've been attacked by every single ghost of old hosts.
Snatch is awesome.
Who the fuck is that?
Alex Riley.
Rage. I want to rage now.
That one is
rage.
Oh, rage. Yeah. And then there's this one.
Tim is more than welcome to come if he wants to.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God, Tim. Really?
Really? No.
Really?
Why?
Why, Tim?
Cut the camera off.
Mike, you don't even know what that was.
That, you crossed the line. You're going to TNA now.
All right.
Wait!
I'll go skimming.
Tim has been released of his duties. Bye, everybody.
Have a good night, everybody. See you next Saturday night. Or Sunday.
Get it right.
Rage.
Rage. That's a full-on rage.
Yep. Yeah. Sunday night. Russell Talk.
Bye. WildTalkRadio.com